It's a big world out there, becoming more and more technically oriented every day. We all need help understanding and knowing how to work with ever-evolving computers, cell phones, and electronic devices. Stay tuned and you'll find out from local experts as KAZM presents Tech Talk. And now, Tech Talk.
Welcome into the program. Tom Tabak here along with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography.
Good morning.
It's a good thing your name's Bob Coates, you know, because you have to represent Bob Coates Photography.
I know.
Is that the chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken or what?
One of them broke.
What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, let's talk about art and cameras and whatever else we happen to wander across.
Okay. In other words, wherever my mind will take us?
Well, not wherever, but, you know, within limitations.
Okay. So let's take a quick break, folks. We'll come back and we'll get into it. Art and then cameras with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography.
At least say it right. That's all, folks.
Be right back. Welcome back into the program. Tom T. back here.
We're back under control now.
I wanted to take a longer break to try and can, you know, control myself and get back under control, it didn't work. You know, the break's only so long, you know, so here we are running down the wrong track again. All right. Yes. Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. You want to talk art first?
Absolutely.
Okay. He's trying to take a picture of me, folks. Over the microphone, he's trying to take a picture of me. Hey, I love being perfect. See, you're a professional, so if I don't come out perfect, it's not my fault.
Absolutely. which is cool. I get to play and have a good time, and you know, it's one of the reasons that I'm still a photographer is because I don't feel I'll ever be able to master it. You know, it's the technology keeps changing, the cameras keep changing, the software changes, my vision changes, learning to see the light in different ways.
You know, something that just popped into my mind is that as you're photographing real life subjects, especially human beings, do you have to work at being patient to capture a certain moment or hope you capture moments as you're taking the pictures? Or do you try to interact to create a moment?
Yes.
Ah.
So the answer is yes, it's both. Mm-hmm. And actually I have an example of both from shooting this week. Your gentleman who works here, Josh.
Yeah.
We did his family portrait at the studio.
Oh, see, now they got to quit having babies.
Yeah. Well, that's
every time they do that, the old family portrait becomes history.
And actually we've been doing a series and every time there's a new little one, we do a whole new family session.
Can't you just bring the baby in, shoot it and then, you know, Photoshop
and add it in? Probably could. But it was really interesting. Because in this particular case, I think this was the fastest and quickest family shoot that I have ever done.
Really?
Because you have a limitation of what is the attention span of the shortest attention span that's there.
Yeah.
And the youngest was good for about 4 minutes.
I thought you were going to say Josh.
No, Josh was real good. He was impressive. Matter of fact, he looks very much very similar in each of the photos.
He doesn't age at all.
No,
does he?
He looks really good.
We got him right out of college a long time ago. Okay, and I swear, I look at him and I think to myself, hey, man, he hasn't changed at all.
Especially in comparison to me. It's crazy. But we had a 2-year-old, I guess, and the 10-month-old, and both of them kind of exploded at the same moment. But I had made sure. So what I do is in this
both
particular case, just gone. It was like, okay, we're done. And I knew that at that point we were not bringing anybody, but we were not going to get any better from there. But in the 5 minutes prior to that, the camera was mounted on the tripod. I'm working each individual, so I'm looking at making sure I've got a good photo of this one. Good photo of Josh. Good photo of his wife. Good photo of this. And then basically tried to get the group as good as possible together. And then because of the technology, I'm able to take the facial expression or body position from this one and put it into, and so I took four different photos and brought them all together, which really represented the family well with good expressions and eyes, you know, toward the camera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but as soon as the little one started, you know, to, you know, reaching across and, you know, wiggling in the thing, and then I guess it was the 2-year-old just went, you know, and I was like, okay, we're done. And so they basically, they got to the studio at 10.
Yeah.
And then they, we shot, they, you know, got all ready and, you know, combing hair and getting everybody in position.
Yeah,
we got everybody posed.
Yeah.
We got them in spot. And then we shot for about 5 minutes. They were gone at 10:15.
Oh, no, that's great. That's great.
And, but the thing is, so that brings to the point of, and that was actually a combination of both things.
Yeah.
I'm patient to look to see that I've got each individual.
Yeah.
Yet I'm also working each one. I'm running up and doing a little poke in the belly.
Okay.
I'm making noises. I'm, you know, being a goofball.
Yeah.
Doing whatever I can to interact to get the expressions that I want and the body positions that I want.
Yeah.
And then, you know, didn't have to have everybody looking exactly wonderful at the same time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I got it. I got it. Yeah.
So the second example was I have a muse named Pash Galbavi, and she is my art muse. And she comes up with some really cool ideas, and she wanted to be a mermaid.
Uh-huh.
And she has a house, or her house is by the creek, so she's got a place to play. So we did some life posing, and we did some cloth flying in the wind infrared photos, and some, you know, just all sorts of different stuff. Then she got into the water, and I'm on a rock over top looking down on her, and there's all these reeds and things that are kind of, I don't know, I guess underwater weeds that are kind of flowing in there. And she's got this piece of cloth attached to her that kind of made a sort of a mermaid-like look.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after some post-processing, it actually turned out pretty cool.
Cool, yeah.
So with her concept, I would never have said, oh, why don't we go have you be a mermaid?
Yeah. So she walked in with that idea.
She walked in with the idea because she had photographed some material in amongst these weeds and things, and she, you know, because she plays herself, she was like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if I was a mermaid in this space? And so we made it happen.
Cool, yeah.
So, but that was more of a, okay, let's get you posed, let's get you in the right position.
Yeah, yeah.
We're working it together. So the answer to your question, to both questions, is yes.
So the mermaid thing, now that sounds like something, as I'm visualizing it, that would end up in a gallery or a competition.
That's where it's going.
Uh-huh.
It's already, and again, like I say, when I first looked at the images I had in my head about the infrared on the creek with her, you know, with the cloth flying and just the life posing and the infrared, which turns green leaves kind of a really white glowing thing, and the water turns dark black, so you have a lot of nice contrast.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have this figure that's in there that's just kind of maybe resembles a Greek statue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a blast to put that together. So that's where my head was.
Yeah.
But I still shot what she was looking for.
Yeah.
And I kind of, as I did my first review, I was kind of, okay, we'll show them to her and see what she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I didn't do much work on them or even think to process them through into the art.
Yeah.
And after she came by, she says, oh, my goodness, look at that one. And look at how, oh, and you caught that way. And, oh, wouldn't that be? And then it was like, got my interest peaked a little bit. And I thought, okay, I see one here that I could really do a little bit of stuff to. The cloth was just, you know, moving into the right shape and with some more manipulation and some different layers and, you know, moving more of the weeds around and, you know, making a composition out of it and putting patches of light in different places, it actually turned out pretty cool.
Neat.
It
sounds like a lot of fun. In other words, it sounds to me like, even though you know what you're doing, you're a professional, that you can surprise yourself from time to time, which is fun.
This one blew me away. I'm really excited about it. And I'm not sure I'm going to share it quite. I'll let Pash share it. So if you look at Pash's stuff on her websites and Facebook page, you can probably see it there because I shared it with her. She wants to use it as her header for her Facebook page because like, oh, my goodness, that is so cool. I mean, she was so excited. Had exclamation points and, you know, just, and it's really exciting when you get somebody else's vision and you can make it come out.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to work at it. I mean, it's not just take a picture of her over, you know, while she's swimming in the creek.
Yeah.
We, you know, she did her posing while she was in the water. We had the cloth trailing. She was swimming up and down because the current was flowing. And so it was a lot of work to get to that point. but then a lot of post-processing to make it look realistic and to give it more of a fantasy feel.
Yeah.
To take it to that next level.
When you do that post-processing and you start going crazy like this, you know, artistically, you know, and the visions and the creation starts to come to you, how long do you work on something like this?
The mermaid, I'm still not done.
Uh-huh.
And the mermaid one was probably, I probably spent 2 or 3 hours on it.
That post?
In post, yeah.
Okay. So the actual shoot itself, a lot shorter time?
Well, we shot for a couple hours, you know, from the stuff that I was looking for and then the stuff that she was looking for.
Yeah.
And then because of, you know, a little bit of health issues, I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't do any more. I got to get out of here. I got to go sit down somewhere. And I have, it's kind of funny how your body, you know, just kind of tells you, you are finished.
You're done. Yeah.
Put a fork in you.
You call it hitting the wall.
Yeah.
All right.
So we did I got there. 2:30, 4, so 2 hours of shooting.
Okay. About as much time in post.
No, lots more because there's post on each individual image after that.
Yeah.
Now, some of them, the post-production was, you know, a few minutes because I knew the settings that I wanted and I had them already done from, you know, so you can move the same settings if you have the same scene over to a next image.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a,
like,
that can be a bit of a production and then you can go in and pick the bestest.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about this some more because I got a lot of questions on my mind. Talking to Bob Coates, folks, from Bob Coates Photography. Welcome back into the show. Tom Tabak here with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. A couple of questions on my mind, and I want to go back to the family portrait session that you did with Josh and the family. Because I'm dying to ask you, number one, were you tempted at all, or have you ever been tempted to take the worst images of each person and create a different family photo?
Absolutely not. I just don't do that. Nope. If for some reason there's a wall there and it only goes in one direction.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be so cool though?
It's been done. There's, you know, if you go out on Facebook or if you go and, you know, Google family portraits or Google bad family portraits or something, you'll find what you're looking for, but you're not going to see any of my images in there.
Be like Brand X.
My job is to make people look the best that they are.
Yeah.
Not necessarily change who they are, but make them look the best that they are.
And the next question that popped into my mind was, who was in more control of the kids, Josh or Andrea?
Actually, it was a team effort.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Surprised at all. No one
had to be.
Yeah.
We had little ducks flying across the room and, you know, wiggles and, you know, we had some, hair breakdowns like, no, I don't want my hair, you know, brushed. Don't do it. And then there's a little psychology there because at that moment I said, oh my goodness, you know, you are so cute.
Yeah.
Cause she was like adamant that she was not going to get her hair.
Yeah.
I said, but you know what? I think that you would be even more beautiful if you had your hair cut, you know, brushed by mom.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I didn't say another word.
Sure. Because,
and I went back over to my camera, was doing my stuff, and she walked over to mom and got her hair.
That's
brushed.
The outside influence.
Yes.
You know, that's like if you have a kid, folks, let's say it's a little boy and he gets involved in Little League baseball or something like that. You have absolutely no influence. The coach has all the influence.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the outside source.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now going back to the art. When you're creating these pieces, as you're doing the shoot and these thoughts come to your mind, do you make notes? Do you ever fear that you won't think about that same thing again? Because when you get in the post process, you might get other thoughts and ideas. You don't want to lose any, do you?
Well, what I do is as I'm post processing, I save versions.
Mm.
So as I'm working on it, I'll say, you know, that's looking pretty good.
Mm.
Version two. And then go forward from there so that I don't lose what's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, lose what I've done in the past. Because in the past, I used to just work right over and keep going. And then you only have maybe about 30 undos, they call it, where you could use the history and go back.
Right.
And that's if you want to have your computer not crash. You could have more undos if you want, but.
Yeah. I've been there. You go back to the point where you forget where you were.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just save versions. So version two, version three, version four. And then I'll go back through and see if I got better as I went or if I missed something along the way or, ooh, you know what? I need to go back here in order to fix where I'm going better.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's all part of the process. That's one reason why it takes a while to do it.
Interesting. Now, That was an art project or a piece of art that comes from an interaction with a live person,
collaboration.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. How often does that happen versus you create art from inanimate objects or scenery, something like that?
It's a lot easier to do it from the scenery and the inanimate objects.
Yeah.
So flowers and musical instruments. I have a whole series called the Musical Mandalas.
Mm.
In which I've replicated, say, a French horn and layered it together and circled it around and dropped shadows and textures and color, you know, so there's a lot of different ways. So, you know, I often joke that if somebody said, hey, you know what, my grandfather was a carpenter and this is the very first rusty nail that he ever drove, can you make a piece of art out of it?
Yeah.
And I can.
Yeah.
And then I would ask all sorts of questions, and I would say, do you want this art to jump forward?
Yeah.
Do you want it to be restful and quiet and just, you know, have it talk to you just a little bit? You know, what color palette do you want? What material do you want to print it on? What kind of a frame? I mean, there's so many pieces that go into a final piece of art that's really custom made.
Mm.
It's really quite interesting to run through the process because, you're collaborating with somebody else and not just your vision.
Yeah. All right. Shall we talk cameras?
Yeah. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about cameras about was that because the cameras have gotten the way they have, the Lumix cameras have so many possibilities. It's almost like they're small computers.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they are small computers, and they process things amazingly well. For example, I can, on a single button push, I can use every focus point in the camera, and there's 225 focus points.
So you're going to get 225 different images?
No, it would be of the same scene, but all the focus points would be in different spots. And then afterwards, I can take each individual one and say, yep, that's where I want my focus point to be and let everything fall where it may.
Oh.
Or I can say, you know what, let me use these three focus points together, and that's what I want so that there would be different things that are in focus and out of focus.
Wow.
Or I can say, you know what, use them all.
Mm-hmm.
I want this thing to be as sharp from front to as sharp as back as much as the lens could possibly gather and combines them all together. It's called focus stacking.
Mm.
It's a way to process, like, say, for example, flower photos that have a hyper reality because your eye can't even see that sharpness all the way through. It's if you look at the front of a flower, the rest of the flowers, if you think about it, the rest of the flower behind it is actually out of focus.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the petals behind the stamens that are sticking out, the stamens are out of focus. And so it's a hyper reality that gives you a vision that you can't see even with the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of what sets the art apart. And then I'll start with that kind of a photo and then start processing with acting extra shadows.
Okay, so instead of having to take like 25 different photo images of the same subject or the same object, you can select 25 different focus points.
Correct.
And then choose them in post-production.
And the camera will actually do the post-production for you.
Yeah.
Because you say, these are the ones I want to use.
Yeah.
Make it a JPEG.
Okay, so when you're doing this, if it'll do a possible 225, you must have a number that you're comfortable with. You can't possibly want to look at 225 different ones.
I don't actually look at them.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're looking to see, because when you're working especially with a macro lens, the depth of field or the amount of area that's in focus from where your focus point is, it's a little bit in front, a little bit in back, if you just to simplify it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a third in front, two-thirds in back, but whatever. So you have this little strip that's in focus.
Okay.
So what we do with the focus stacking, and we can also do this with raw files where I would personally take it into Photoshop and work with those images.
Yeah.
And you would start with this. You'd focus in the front, next, all the way through.
Yeah.
And then the idea is that at any point you could say, okay, I'm done here. Everything behind here will be out of focus.
Amazing.
So it'll give it that nice soft, what they call bokeh.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Last break. When we come back, folks, we'll give you some contact information for Bob Coates at Bob Coates Photography. Welcome back. As we run out of time, I want to ask Bob, do you have any final thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, if you're interested in getting some art done, give me a shout. What's my telephone number? 300-0535. 300-0535. That'll get right through. And then bob@bcphotography.com. And if you're interested in photo stuff, successful-photographer.com.
All righty. We'll repeat that at the end of the segment here, folks. Make sure you get a chance to write it down or just give us a call. We've got all the information here. And I want to congratulate you on messing up the end of the show because I messed up the first part of the show.
Yeah, I thought it actually turned out much better. I thought we were heading down way downhill, and we actually recovered well.
No.
Very good.
No, we're professionals. We can get better. The hard part is when you start awesome, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, it was easy to look like we were doing good.
One more time, contact information.
BCphotography.com, successful-photographer.com, and give me a call at 300-0535.
Catch us again next time, folks.
You've been listening to KAZM's Tech Talk, a discussion program Wednesdays following the noon news with local experts. Tune in again next week for updated information about computers, cell phones, electronic devices, everything technical. That's why we call it Tech Talk, right here on 780 KAZM.